This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everybody to Spouting Off Friday. I'm Karen Cataline, and it is a pleasure to be with you. Been doing lots and lots of radio today. In fact, I probably could do video, but I'm not sure how to do it. We're on a different system and a different thing. My hair probably looks a mess. I don't care. I'm here on Friday, and we are ready. I was just doing 2 hours on Power Hour Radio, and we had a very interesting discussion, and the podcast will be up shortly. But for those of us who are wondering, why am I doing radio and why do I sound kind of funny? Well, that's the reason why. I have a few opening remarks, and then we're going to bring on our guest, because there's so much fun stuff to talk about with our guest that I don't want to waste too much time. I do want to let you know that I will be doing Power Hour a little more often, and I'll be giving you those details on a regular basis for my listeners who want to know where they can hear us. And that includes our Tuesday and Thursday show at 1 p.m. on Spouting Off, 1 p.m. Eastern, and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. So you can get all that information at my website, KarenCataline.com. Before we bring on our guest, I just have to let you know, I guess because the country is ramping up its rhetoric, maybe I'm ramping up mine, okay? And that's because I'm tired of pretending. I don't pretend. I don't do it well. I was in the theater. I pretend for a living, but I don't pretend on talk radio unless I'm having a good time. And I notice that the powers that be, and they don't have as much power as they think they do, are trying to force us into a pretend world. They're trying to force us into a pretend world. I have been calling it an episode of The Twilight Zone. In this case, though, I'm just saying that everything that I'm seeing that's coming out of the propaganda media is designed to keep us scared, to keep us controlled, to keep us wearing a muzzle on our faces, and keeping us from speaking out and speaking up for the truth, whatever that is as we see it, and the truth that we know about America, that America is not a racist country, just as an example. There's a whole bunch of premises that this propaganda media is trying to get us to believe and accept, and with an increasing level of force, coercion, bullying, and intimidation. So if they're going to do that, I got to keep standing up and saying, wait a minute, I ain't playing your game of pretend here. One of the reasons why there are certain populations that seem threatened by there are many populations that seem to be the biggest threats to the leftist, globalist, communist government that they're trying to impose on us. They might as well just say it, because their actions tell us where they're going. But there are certain groups that they're really going after to try to keep silent, to try to put down, and to try to punish. What are those groups? Well, let's see. People of faith, we'll be talking about that with our next guest. People who love America. People who voted for Trump. People who love masculinity. There's a lot of women who love masculinity, not just men. The fact that they want to demonize masculinity, all these groups, people who think for themselves, people who want to take personal responsibility for their own lives and are not going to lay down and watch Netflix the rest of their lives. People who welcome accountability from God, that is a good thing, not a bad thing. Those are the people that are the biggest threats to communism. They've given us a blueprint on how to fight back. What is it? The very thing they don't want us to do. The things they don't want us to believe. The things they don't want us to know. I never thought I'd been saying these kinds of things in the United States of America, where a year and a half ago, it was okay to be able to say what you think. It was okay to dissent and disagree. It was okay to make decisions about what you put in your body. Remember, my body, my choice. Ever heard of that before? All of these things are being turned on its head. If we allow it, if we comply with it, we have hastened tyranny. That's what we're doing. We're hastening tyranny. And that's my position, and I'm sticking to it. And with that, I think because he's here and because he's on video, I'm just going to go ahead early and bring in our guest, because I'm getting to know him along with you. And this is a man with a fascinating history and a fascinating message for all of us. And his name is Pastor Kurt Hudspeth. He is an ordained non-denominational pastor and marriage counselor, and he is the senior pastor at Four Winds Bible Church in, of all places, what do you know, San Antonio, Texas. He's the co-host of a podcast called The Word in High Resolution and the God Family and Country Radio Show, which broadcasts on WTSA, right, in San Antonio.
And KTSA.
Oh, KTSA. Sorry about that.
There you go.
And on top of all that, he is a champion for Israel and the Jewish people. So he's a natural ally, not only of us, but of America. So welcome. You like to be called Pastor Kurt, right?
Yeah, it's just easier for people, and I appreciate it very much, Karen. Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome to Spouting Off on this Friday edition. Pastor Kurt, a totally unexpected video event suddenly, and here you go. I was going to be doing video today with you, but you're on video, and what a pleasure it is to have you. Tell us, I'm going to jump right in here and find out, what is it that made you decide that a Christian pastor ought to encourage his parishioners and congregants to support the state of Israel?
Well, it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no question about that. First and foremost, in the depravity of who we are, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and our hearts are convicted, I tell people it's like a light switch inside of us that only God can touch, that turns us on. All of a sudden, we have the ears to hear and the eyes to see the things that God has placed before us. And the Word of God comes jumping off of the page, and you have the opportunity to read and have an understanding, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Not audibly. I've never heard audibly the word of God, but I know how God speaks to my heart. I also know that when I'm reading my Bible, Karen, I know that I'm reading absolute truth from cover to cover, every word. And so when I realized how much God loved Israel, it was easy. It was simple. There was a need for people, especially in the pulpit, to stand up and say, I support the state of Israel, and I love the Jewish people. I love them because my God loves them. We serve the same God. And the point here is the understanding of relationships that go very, very deep as a result of this. It's been happening now for me for over 20 years. Mm. And it's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. And I can tell you time after time after time again, the relationships that I have built over the years are forever strong in friendships.
Well, and to that end, that's kind of how I met you, because I spoke to a rabbi who, it turns out his father, and sadly he just passed away, his father did, was very, very close to one of the greatest champions of Israel and the Jewish people and the Christian community, Pastor John Hagee. How do you know John Hagee? And well, tell us more about that, because I got to say, Pastor Kurt, that is a movement and a whole agenda, if you will, that my parents, may they rest in peace, would never have believed.
Right.
It's relatively new, and I think John Hagee has had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, there's no question. So before going into the ministry, I attended John Hagee's church. I got to know him more through Christians United for Israel. That was much later on in life. As I was called to the ministry, I was involved in different events where he was. I started building a relationship not only with him, but with Rabbi Scheinberg. That would be Rabbi Scheinberg, the senior. Meyer Scheinberg was a mentor to me. He was a dear friend, and I love him and miss him dearly. He was somebody who was who called it like it was, and I always called him my hero. And here's why: when John Hagee went to Israel for the first time, he's on the way back home on an airplane. And he gets this vision from God that he needs to have a night to honor Israel. Now, this goes back almost 40 years now. And he comes back home. He's decided he's going to do this in the church. And he starts reaching out to rabbi after rabbi after rabbi all across the state of Texas. And they all turned him down, except for one. And that was Ari Scheinberg. And Ari Scheinberg was an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and his comment to John was simply this. He said, I'll get back with you. Mm-hmm. And that was the first comment that he said to him. And so what Rabbi did is he took it to his board, and he says, there's this Christian that wants to get together, and they want to take a night to honor Israel and honor us as the Jewish people. And even his board members told him, no, it's a bad idea. Don't do it. And Ari said something that I'll always remember. He said, but what if he's our friend? Mm. It's worth the risk. And there began a night to honor Israel. And it has grown throughout the years. And year after year, there was a mass amount of fundraising that goes on to be able to help different organizations throughout the state of Israel that desperately need the funds. That's been happening year after year. And then comes along, I believe it was 2006, 2007, CUFI is born, which is Christians United for Israel. Mm. And that began a movement that was just huge across not only the United States, but across the world. And that changed things forever more. The relationships that were built from that, and the purpose of CUFI is multifaceted in a couple of different ways. Not only about building relationships, but it's about legislating taking legislation to Congress to make sure that the United States always is looking after Israel. The reason why that is so important, Karen, then I'll stop here for a second.
No, go ahead.
It is this. God said in Genesis in the 12th chapter, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That covenant that was given to Abraham at that day is still alive and well today. It has not changed. I hear Christians say all the time, well, that's Old Testament. That doesn't have anything to do with the New Testament. And so we think you're wrong. And I tell them all the time, I said, you know, I'll just tell you something. God looks at the Jewish people and he says they're the apple of his eye, that he loves them. As much as he rebukes them, he loves them like crazy. And that's me paraphrase. what I tell them is if God ever broke covenant with the Jewish people, he would break covenant with you. He'd break covenant with me. The fact of the matter is we serve a God that never breaks covenant. And so the covenant that was given to Abraham at that time was as important today as it is today. What, and it translates to this, what you do to Israel, God will do to you. And that's been true all along. Look at the nations that have been supportive of Israel. You could see the blessings of America in the founding of the nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian values. You can see the blessings that have come with the relations that have been built up with the Jewish people. And then, of course, when you get to 1948, the very first nation that responded was Harry Truman, within a letter that was sent within a matter of moments after the decree of Israel becoming a state. And we've never looked back until recently, maybe over the last 10 years, where we have seen this falling away.
Pastor, we're talking to Pastor Curtis Hudspeth from San Antonio Four Winds Bible Church in Texas. And you hit on so many wonderful things. We probably are going to take a break in a little bit as soon as my producer tells me so. But I have referred to Israel in the past, or the Jewish people, as the canaries in the coal mine, because whenever countries, nations, have stood against Israel, they have been exposed as having evil intent for all humanity, not just Jews. And now I'm going to have to set this up and then we'll take a break if that's okay with you, Pastor.
Sure.
And now Christians and Jews stand together as canaries in that coal mine. So when we come back, I would like to talk about that a little bit. Thank you so much. It's such an honor and pleasure. Special guest, Pastor Curtis Hudspeth, a talk show host in his own right. And we are doing exactly what Pastor Hagee did and started, which is standing together with our Christian brethren and talking about liberty, talking about accountability to God and not to men. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to a special edition of Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and on K-Star Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here, the Friday edition on BBS Radio and K-Star Radio Network. If you'd like to follow other editions of Spouting Off, we have Tuesdays, Thursdays at 1 p.m. And the flagship network there is WSMN in Nashua, New Hampshire. But wherever you are, you can listen to Spouting Off online, either in actuality or after the fact. If you'd like, by the way, to call in and you're listening, you're watching, and you'd like to call in to the show, please, by all means, if you're listening to us live here on Friday at 2 p.m., you can call 888-627-6008, and we'll patch you right into the pastor, and you can ask a question. He is someone I know who is not going to shy away from questions, disagreements, or any other aspect, because that's what we do here. We exercise our First Amendment rights. Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us, Pastor Curtis Hudspeth, here on Spouting Off.
You bet. Grateful to be with you, Karen.
Grateful to have you. There you are. I didn't see you there for a minute. Now I do. So before the break, I was talking about, if I had a nickel for every time people ask me, why are Jews so liberal? I mean, I could buy a Starbucks. I really could. And they do always ask me that. And then I always do talk about why, that's a different topic, but why are Jews the canaries in the mine shaft that when countries stand against Israel, I mean, it's not an accident. That was a mixed metaphor there, you understand. But it's not an accident that people like Ilhan Omar, who are anti-Israel, and this virulent left that continues to characterize Israel as an occupying nation, that they're against America too. That's not an accident. It's not coincidental. And now these leftists are also against Christians who, as I like to say, answer to a higher authority like Hebrew National, God, not men. And those are the most law-abiding people, are people who do answer to God, who are law-abiding to laws that are not immoral. And yet now Christians and Jews and people who love America are being demonized as if they're the problem. A complicated question, but how is it when you talk to your flock, if you will, that again and again and again, those who stand against Israel have stood against America, have stood against liberty, and have stood, frankly, against life? Tell me about that.
You know, it's interesting, and the phenomenon is growing, especially in Congress. When you look at Congress, we're seeing more and more anti-Semitism growing by leaps and bounds, both in the House as well as in the Senate. And it is frightening to see, because again, I go back to Genesis 12 and 3. The greatness of our nation, the greatness of God, God's blessings over America are a direct result of our love for the Jewish people and the love for God's word. And so when you're seeing all of these things that are taking place, you ask the question, you know, why are the Jewish people liberal? I'm sympathetic towards their thought. I don't agree with their thought, but I understand their thought. One of the things that Jewish people are always taught is to always remember, never forget. You know, in America, I think our attention span is probably a matter of minutes, maybe a day, and we completely forget and we move on to something else. To the Jewish people, they never forget. And for them, peace at any cost is absolutely their desire. And that's not true. There is a trend of that changing now, and it began with the Trump administration. There were a lot of eyes open, a lot of ears that all of a sudden could hear, understanding that there was a reason to take a little bit more of a conservative approach, not only with America, but also with Israel, and understanding the power, because the threats. You know, Karen, if you look at the threats across the nation, across the nation of Israel, there are some parts of Israel that between the Mediterranean and the Golan Heights is only 9 miles. Mm-hmm. And that's the space that's there. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things that the Trump administration did, beyond moving the embassy to Jerusalem, one of the greatest things that Trump did was recognize the Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. The Golan Heights was a massive, massive military strategic move in terms of protecting the state of Israel.
Yes.
Because of the direct threat out of Syria. So you see all of these things that have come into place. The Jewish people, to shorten the answer, is that they want peace at any cost, and even to the point of willing to give up land. If you'll remember many years ago, Yasser Arafat coming and negotiating, Israel was willing to give him 99% of what he wanted. And he refused it because he didn't get it all. Thank God he did. They were willing to divide the land of Israel, divide it in two. And of course, we know from a prophetic standpoint, that is an absolute no-no to God. And it's not anything that's going to take place.
right? And it's like having a one-handed handshake that Israelis, I think, were a little too gullible, because if you don't have a true partner in peace, you can't have peace at any cost if the person you're trying to negotiate wants to destroy you.
Exactly right.
Israel has continued to concede and concede and concede land to entities that merely wish to destroy them. And I think now it's more clear, at least to some, than it's been in the past.
The neighborhood of nations are all enemies, and especially Jordan. Even recently, Jordan could have been on the fence one way or the other, but now they've aligned with Iraq and Iran, and it's incredible to see. You know, for Jordan, most of Jordan's water, most of Jordan's electricity, all comes from Israel. Mm-hmm. And they're biting, and they sell it to them at cost.
Yes.
And sometimes below cost. And they're biting the hand that's feeding them. And it's amazing to see the events that are taking place. Last comment I'll make on that about the nations.
Sure.
If you look at the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39, for the first time in history, in global history, all of the players are in the theater for that great battle that is going to take place. The Bible talks about very clearly in Ezekiel 38, the nations that would come to fight against Israel, that they would be run by a reluctant leader. That reluctant leader, the Bible says, comes from the far north. Well, all biblical direction is centered from Jerusalem. So to the far north of Jerusalem is Russia. Who's in Syria now? Russia. They've got naval warm water ports. They are the reluctant leader that God says he's going to put a hook in their jaw and lead these nations that are going to come to fight against Israel. Who else is it going to be? It's going to be Turkey. Look what's happened in Turkey over since 2015 with the coup with the Erdogan. You see the reestablishment of Sharia law inside Turkey. They have become anti-Israel and anti-American. They are not a friend of the United States. Mm-hmm. You look at Iraq and who Iraq is also mentioned. Syria is mentioned. Persia, which we know is Iran, they're mentioned. Libya, we know is mentioned or put some of the translations. You see all of these nations that are going to come and fight against Israel. Like I said, for the first time, now they're all there. And we're very close to that battle cut taking place.
Yes. Before we get into, and we're going to have to, you know, what you think will happen, and I know it is informed by your particular theology, there's stuff that's happening in the news right now. I was sent a note about the Taliban taking the first provincial capital in Afghanistan, as the city of Zaranj falls into groups' hands. So, no, it's impossible to think it is accidental that the Obama-Biden administration, might as well be the same thing, pulled out of Afghanistan, knowing full well that not only would the Taliban take over, but the Taliban would use that area to do what it always does, which is to train terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because that's what we had on our show for this week, for the God Family
really?
Country radio show. We had was talking about Afghanistan, and had a woman that worked at the embassy that was there, and she was a political advisor in Afghanistan. And she was right on the front lines of seeing all the things that took place. And we talked about what is going on now that the U.S. has pulled out. And it's shameful to see the amount of money that the United States spent, and more importantly than that, the lives that were lost. We lost over 6,000 lives, and tens of thousands that were maimed or lost limbs, and that have come home, and their lives will never be the same again. All of this over 20 years, and in the battles of war, 20 that doesn't seem like a lot of people. But when the result is a net zero, they accomplished absolutely nothing, because as soon as they pulled out and announced that they were leaving, who comes in? The Taliban. And now the last numbers I heard of was yesterday, they were controlling about 73% now of Afghanistan. Prior to the U.S. moving out, they controlled just under 50%. So you can see how fast they're moving and how quickly that they're going to be taking over the country. And what a waste of treasure. And I'm talking about lives that has taken place as a direct result of that. Afghanistan is an absolute disaster. But America never seems to learn their lesson. We didn't learn it in Vietnam. We didn't learn it in Iraq. And we certainly haven't learned in Afghanistan. There has to be a mission that's going to be completed. And unless they have the capacity in them to see that mission through, we should never do this again.
Right.
Because the loss of life was just too much.
Pastor, we are going to take another quick break. Hopefully you can stay with us.
Sure.
Thank you. We're going to cover some more topics. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to and you're watching Spouting Off on BBS Radio and K-Star Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and you can see or usually here, Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. All you got to do is go to my website, KarenCataline.com, for all of the details. And there will be more expansion coming up, I believe. So we'll let you know about that soon. We're talking to Pastor Kurt Hudspeth. And it is such a pleasure to talk to you. Not only is he a champion of the State of Israel, he has his own religious community and Bible study in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks for staying with us, Pastor Kurt. It's good.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
So whenever I talk to, and I do have the pleasure of talking to lots of religious people whose primary occupation, pastors, rabbis, what have you. I like talking about this question from a non-denominational point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, many people who love this country, as you and I do, and our listeners, are watching unprecedented attacks on our country. Our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, many of them laid their lives down, served in our military so that the kind of tyranny and communism and lies and deceit would never visit us upon these shores in America, the beacon for liberty. And it's easy to get discouraged and depressed and throw up your hands and say, how can I do this? The left, the communist left, has infiltrated every sphere of influence in our country, from education to pop culture to obviously the movies, the media. They've even infiltrated the church and synagogues. People who are rolling over to mask mandates and vax mandates and what have you. And it can be overwhelming. So from a spiritual point of view, say that you're a chaplain somewhere and you want to give some advice to those of us, give comfort to those of us who are in despair. Now, I've had Jews tell me many times, and it's true, it's almost forbidden for Jews to have despair, because we are the object of so many blessings from God, right, as humans are. But what would you say to those people?
Well, if you're looking at America, again, America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. That started to change in the late 50s. The Supreme Court took out Bibles and took out prayer in schools and public school systems in 1960 and 1961. That was a boundary crossed with God. You can look at a boundary crossed with God in the decision of Roe v. Wade, where we've now killed 70 million babies. Don't think for a moment that the wrath of God is not coming to America as a result of those things. We've taken marriage, which was marriage between a man and a woman. It was a blood covenant between the two of them and God directly. And we've turned it into a mockery, allowing you, if you want to marry your cat, you can do so. Mm. And so we've crossed boundary after boundary after boundary. And a nation that refuses to repent because they no longer acknowledge God. Look how we've done everything we can to kick God out. They've certainly done that in Congress. The problem with the commandments, the Ten Commandments that used to be posted, you used to see them in the public school systems, you would see them in courtrooms, you would see them at the state houses. Very few of them have them. Texas does, but many of the states have done these things because they've completely wiped God out of their thinking. And Paul talks about that a lot in Romans, in Romans 1, 18 through 32, where he's very clearly describing the depravity of man. And when you step so far away from God, you are going to see the judgment of God come. Back to Israel for a second. If you look at them trying to divide the state, that actually took place in 2015 under the Obama administration at the UN, where the UN Security Council and the United States abstained from the vote, allowing the vote to go through and to divide the state of Israel into a two-state solution. Here's what God says about that in Joel in the third chapter. He said, Joel says, speaking, God through Joel speaking says, I will bring all nations down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, who they have scattered amongst the nations, and they have also divided up my land. And what I've told people is, the land of Israel will never physically be divided, not ever. But because the nations declared it, the wrath of God and the judgment of God will come. When it will come, I don't know to the nations. I can tell you that you can see the judgments that are coming in many different forms, in many trials and tribulations for the United States now. Look at the problems that we're having that have exploded, CRT, social justice. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes on and on and on, all of these different things that are taking place. The question is not, why are all these things happening? Why are we not seeing more things happen? Now, I love this nation. I wish we were a nation that would come to a point of repentance. But I think the latest Pew poll that I saw, which is a couple of years old now, showed that we were almost 70% as a nation secular. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When you have those types of issues, you know, there are people that want to deny God, and that's the majority of America today. But God is real.
God is what? What did you say?
God is real.
Mm. Pastor, I think the why is important from a standpoint that I don't think that the communists and these people who are trying to usurp America, and I use that word advisedly, are not choosing their targets very, very specifically. When gay marriage happened, for example, you know, I was in the theater for 30 years. I worked amongst lots of gay people. It is not anti-gay to be against gay marriage, but they would have you believe that it is. And what I told a lot of the people I knew that were much younger than me, who thought it was real cool and kind of trendy to believe in gay marriage, was they don't care about the gay people. They don't care about them. This is an attack primarily on Christians. Because if they can dismantle and disavow and, as they like to put it, marginalize their enemies, people who stand against them, then they're going to succeed in their agenda.
Of course.
Gay marriage, I think that the Masterpiece Cake Shop, and I'm from Colorado, that whole thing is a direct attack on Christians, not Jews, not Muslims, because they didn't go into a Muslim bake shop,
right.
Christians. So right. Tell me, you know, your thoughts on that. What, you know, there are a lot of Christians who have also been co-opted. How do we help more Christians understand that they're in under direct attack? Not that they should be victims, but so that they should understand that their faith and all, everybody, people of faith, are a threat to these communists who would like to be God in their universe and in everyone else's.
Well, I would remind them that they should be reading their Bible. And I'll simply say this, that as a nation, we are the most ignorant, biblically literate nation ever in our history. Jesus told us very clearly that we would be hated for his namesake, that we would be a direct threat. You know, I get upset when I hear these pastors, these televangelists say that, you know, just, you know, profess your faith in Christ and everything is going to be all right. It doesn't work like that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. The slander and the false prophets that have come across our nation over the years and continue to grow are people that are spreading propaganda that is absolutely, there's absolutely no biblical truth behind it at all. So understand that when we see all of these things that are taking place, yes, they are coming after us.
Yeah.
They are coming. There is a communist movement. Nobody likes to talk about it. Nobody wants to believe it.
But the
Marxism, that's what CRT is. That's what social justice is. What is social justice? Social justice is nothing more than an equity play.
Right.
It is about taking from one and giving to another. If CRT is nothing more than judging a person by the color of their skin.
And Marxism.
Rather than the characters of their hearts. This is all Marxism.
Yes. And yeah, the destruction of the family. That's all Marxism.
Well, the destruction, look, if in Marxism, what's the calendar of events? If you can destroy the family, and if we can control your health,
yeah.
If we can be control of your health, everything else will fall. Look what's happened in Canada. Canada churches are still closed. If a pastor or a priest is performing a service in Canada, he will be arrested. Many pastors have been arrested. That's happening in Canada. I don't think that we're going to see that here, although they did come after a friend of mine, John MacArthur. in California, inside Los Angeles, where they tried to shut him down. So it was really something to see those things take place.
Wow. Wow. It's stunning that we're living in such times, isn't it?
I think it's a wonderful time to be alive. You know, we are seeing depravity on a scale that we have never seen before. And then understanding the reasons that those things are happening. We are so close to Messiah coming. So close. It's an exciting time to be alive.
And I understand that is your theology. And because we're not lefties, we don't mind disagreeing about theology. Right. And that's a good thing. But what I also think is very disturbing is the intentionality of some of the things we're seeing, the glorification of the opposite of personal accountability, the glorification of, for the lack of a better term, sin, mm-hmm. right? It used to be, okay, we'll do it and we'll, you know, hide it. Now we have that kind of sin being done brazenly in your face.
Right.
Your thoughts on that, and then we'll wrap this up, I think, and talk a little.
I had put a post out earlier on Facebook that America is like Pharaoh. We'll talk about events. It's like Pharaoh, where we fear the plagues,
yeah.
but we don't fear God. And so all of these things, Karen, are happening for very direct reasons. And they've been happening for a long time that way. And all I can tell you is that the signs that were given to us, in the scriptures, of telling us, when you're talking about these people, these are people that have exchanged the truth for a lie.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that on an all-time level high. If you look at the events, if you want to know, when I said that we're very close to Messiah, you may or may disagree with me, but we have very clear scriptures that tell us that when Jesus was using the parable of the fig tree, which we know is Israel, says, when you see Israel begin to bloom again, know that summer is very near, that my hand is on the door, that when you see all these things, that this generation would be the terminal generation that would see his return. So when you look at the rebirth of Israel in 1948, or if you're looking at 1967 with the Six-Day War, with Jerusalem recapturing, with Israel recapturing Jerusalem, you can use those dates going forward and know that there will be a generation that will be coming very, that's here, that's alive, that will see Messiah. Hmm. In other words, that would be the first biblical prophecy that would not be true. But I believe that it will be true.
I would be remiss if I just ignored the thing that I hear all the time among Christians and Jews, Pastor. You know, I've been a Jewish conservative for, you know, forever, and an activist for a little shorter, but always.
God bless you.
We always like to say, we don't proselytize our religion, but we do like to proselytize our politics in order to put more Jews in their right minds. And the complaint I always get, because I know it well, is why would we want to join anyone who would have them as a member? In other words, those Christians, just the only reason they support Israel is because they want to convert us, and because they see the end of days as meaning that we're all going to die unless we accept Jesus. Do you get that question from your friends in the Jewish community? And what do you answer them?
Used to get that question. I don't get the question anymore. They know I'm not there to convert them. It's a foolish thought for a Christian to convert a Jewish person, especially an Orthodox Jew. And I'll tell you why. scripture, if there was ever a time for us to, as Christians, to understand when Paul was speaking to us about what he would say. He said in Romans 15 and 27, he says, it pleased them indeed that they are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers in the spiritual things, their duty is to minister to them in material things. If there was ever a time that Paul or Jesus was going to say to us, this is where I want you to start converting Jews. This is where it would have been said in the scriptures. But it wasn't. It wasn't. So Christians that are doing so are doing an incredible disservice, because there's a reason why that the Jewish people cannot accept Jesus Christ. The Jewish people don't like to hear what it is from a Christian perspective. But God says that he has blinded them, not blinded them physically, but blinded them to Christ for the very purpose. Why? The reason that the Gentiles were originally grafted into the family of God to be with the Jewish people was to make the Jewish people jealous. And of course, the truth of the matter is, if the Jewish people, if you look at what the Jewish people have given to Christianity, because Judaism does not need Christianity to identify who they are, but Christians and Christianity cannot even remotely come close to identifying who we are without looking back to the Jewish people. Look what they have given to us. They've given us the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the Bible. They've given us the prophets. In Christianity, they've given us the first family. They've given us our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They've given us the great Apostle Paul. They've given us all of the scriptures to be able to love and to enjoy. Every word in our Bible penned by Jewish hands.
Pastor, it breaks my heart to have to interrupt, but this conversation has been so fascinating, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
And you just got me at the end there where you said the Jews have been blinded to be jealous, and we're just going to have you back and talk about that some more.
I'll be happy to.
And I apologize for having to interrupt you. You don't interrupt a pastor. But tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, watch your sermons, and then I got to wrap up the show.
Absolutely. They can go to us on Facebook if they want to. They can go to the Four Winds Bible Church. They can also go to our website at fourwinds.org. That's fourwinds.org. And Karen, it's been a pleasure to be with you on the show. I look forward to having you on our show.
Oh, it'll be my honor. And boy, it is a pleasure. I think I made a new friend, and I love it. Karen Cataline, and have a wonderful weekend. That's all we have time for here on Spouting Off. And remember, for both of us, the pastor and I, a Hebrew word in times like this, chazak, which means strength. Chazak.
That's right.
Be well.